You're listening to More Perfect Marketing, the show for business owners and entrepreneurs always on the lookout for smart marketing ideas to keep their business moving forward. And now, here's your host, David Baer.
Well, hello, you're listening to another episode of More Perfect Marketing. It's a show that I named after the Constitution of the United States, that little phrase, a more perfect union, the idea that we are incrementally getting better day by day, inch by inch in our marketing. And I hope that the tidbits that you pick up on this program help you do just that. So today I am super pumped because I am joined by a friend of mine. I first met online and then we met in person down in, I think it was Atlanta, Georgia. I'm thrilled to introduce you to Brian Basilico, who is the author of several books, most of which are related to one of his favorite foods and mine, bacon. And a new book that's coming up about toilet paper, which I'm super excited to hear about. And he was just telling me before we hit record about his new concept of turning your CRM, that's your customer relationship manager, into an ATM. And I'm eager to hear a bit about that. But what I think I'd like to talk with Brian about today is how to train businesses to become better clients of marketing firms like ours. Because that's really what we were just talking about before, is how to think more strategically about marketing so that we can actually help you get what you want done. Brian, welcome.
David, thanks for having me, man. This is a pleasure. It's a joy to talk to you again, dude.
It's always a pleasure, and you always put a smile on my face. So for folks who don't know you, do you want to give them a quick intro on sort of how you found yourself in this world of marketing that you're in? Because I know that's ultimately not your background was like in music and sound engineering and other stuff. And I was like, a fascinating road to where you are now.
Yeah, from what I remember, I came out of the womb marketing and selling and doing things like that. I was interviewed at another podcast, and I remember all of a sudden this memory came back of me at 6 years old taking old wired hangers and cutting up red and green tissue paper and white tissue paper and wrapping around the hangers and then walking around my neighborhood and selling those as on-the-door Christmas wreaths for a buck a piece. And, you know, that's as early as it started. And then, you know, I've been in marketing forever. As a matter of fact, today I was on a photo shoot and a video shoot, and it was my first drone shoot ever. And man, it brought me back, because in the day I was shooting video. And of course, everything's different now. I mean, back then we actually had tape and, you know, on both audio and video. And, you know, so I've been in the recording business, video business, marketing business, CD-ROMs, websites, you name it. I mean, I've done all of that stuff myself, and now I kind of hire people to come and do it, because over the course of the years, I've really figured out, you know, what marketing is and what works and what doesn't work. And, you know, and the biggest thing about marketing, it's really super simple. If you break down marketing in the simple sense, this is one of the things that I say, is marketing is a spark plug. Sales is an engine. All right. If you take marketing and you put this spark plug up in the air, it's going to spark and make pretty noises and, you know, sparkle everywhere, but it doesn't really do anything, right? That's what Facebook and LinkedIn, and that's what a lot of people do with their online marketing and social media and email. They're looking for that big spark that's going to get everybody's attention. But the problem is they have a really hard time putting that spark inside of an engine with pistons that drive sales. So the key thing is the spark has to match the engine so that it actually has some type of momentum to it. So how's that for a metaphor?
I could visualize all of it. And if I knew a thing about cars, maybe it would make sense to me. So.
I honestly know nothing about cars. You do not want me touching your car. I guarantee that. But, you know, I know enough about an internal combustion engine to know that without a spark plug, you cannot make a car go. Yeah. And, you know, and that's the biggest thing about it. So, you know, over the course of time, I think, you know, there's so much to what you do and what I do that you know, a lot of it is bright, shiny object syndrome. And again, you know, we've gone to conferences and you go to a conference and they say, all you got to do is build a huge email list and you're going to get rich, right? And all you got to do is learn how to use social media and you're going to get rich. And all you got to do is build better websites and you're going to learn how to get rich. But the problem is that all of that is wonderful, but really, for success to happen, you have to master a lot of those different things, because not everybody is going to respond to the same messages in the same place. So, you know, point number one is you have to market to people where they're at, you know, and we all know that, you know, some people are going to respond via text message, email, social media, direct mail, smoke signals. It doesn't matter. I mean, the key thing is, does the message get inside of somebody's head? I was trying to say mind meld. One of the graphics that I use is basically, you know, the Vulcan sign of trying to meld two minds together. Is your message automatically resonating with somebody else's mind? And that's really kind of the key. And are they motivated to try to take action based on what you're telling them?
So we've talked about a bunch of specific tactical things over the course of time that we've known each other. Mm-hmm. One of the things that you are known for in certain circles is teaching LinkedIn, for example.
Right.
Mm-hmm. You know, you're a very prolific podcaster, and you know, you have talked about how you use podcasting to grow your business. But mm-hmm. these are tactics that are only a piece of the puzzle. How do you, you know, and again, I'm going to get back to the training a business owner to be a good client.
Right.
Most business owners, when they come to me or come to you, they see a tactic and they get excited about the tactic and say, I want to do that.
Mm-hmm.
What's the conversation that happens at that point?
Well, it usually when they say, I want to do that, I explain to them why it won't work. Because it's only one piece of the puzzle. I'll give you a real story. Is I worked with a client that was a good friend of mine, and you know, they were having issues, and he finally came to me and says, dude, I need my website redone. I said, okay. So, you know, the thing that most people don't realize is you can hire a web person and they can make a pretty website. So there, even a website itself is a system. Okay. The system number one is the web server. How fast is it going to work? System two is, what is the platform it's put on? System three is, what do the graphics look like? System four is, how do I capture data on it? You know, system five is, how do I write the text so it speaks to my audience? You know, there are five, just, you know, that's even basic right there. But there are five people that you need to incorporate. And most people, what they do in business is they will hire one person to do all five of those things. And, you know, just like my favorite book, The E-Myth Revisited, in that book, they talk about the technician, the entrepreneur, and the manager. And so, you know, the technician is really good at doing certain things, but the entrepreneur has a vision and the manager basically is the traffic cop. In the case of trying to put together that marketing piece, they look for something that's reasonably priced, and it's usually somebody that's either a IT person is good at technology, but not good at writing and not good at graphics. Or it's a graphic designer who's really good at making things look good, but isn't good at the technology and isn't good at writing. Or they hire a writer who can't do either one of those things and they farm it out to somebody in India. Not the best idea. What you really need to figure out first is, who are you speaking to, right? You know, and the biggest problem that most businesses have is they say, okay, well, I just want to speak to, you know, everybody in the same page. So I'll put all of this stuff on one page so I can speak to, you know, left-handed guitar players, right-handed guitar players, people that play with their feet and their teeth, you know. And unfortunately, if you put all that information in there, the mind just goes numb when the people who play with their teeth have to go through the left hand, the right hand, and the foot players, you know. So what you've got to do is you first got to decide who you're going to speak to, and then how are you going to approach those people and what message are they going to respond to? And that's just one piece of it. So going back to my buddy, he hires me. We create this great website. We figure out his audience, who he wants to speak to, you know, what his current audience is and what audience he really wants to promote to, which is it's a bigger ticket sales. And he finishes the thing. And then he says to me, man, this is great. I'm getting great compliments on the website. I want to hire a marketing person. And I said, okay, cool. I said, which one? He goes, what do you mean? I said, well, you can hire an SEO person to promote your website. You're going to hire an email person to do email drips or email marketing for you. You're going to hire a content writer, a blog writer, a graphic designer, a videographer. Which one of those people do you want to hire? Or, you know, a strategist. A strategist is going to need all of those people to make all that stuff work. And he just, you know, the look, he looked like a dog with his ears up going, huh? Yeah. You know, it's like, so the key thing that, you know, I want to get across is that the message to people that come to me and say, you know, I just want my website to do better. It's like, okay, well, that's cool. Then, you know, what we need to do is we need to create a strategy around email marketing and a strategy around social media. We need to create, you know, blogging and ebooks and, you know, video and all these different pieces, because different people are in different spaces and it works differently on different platforms. And most of them say, no, you don't get it. I just want my, I want my website to get me more traffic. And I go, okay, well, I can get you 1 million visitors right now for $500 if you want it. And they go, yeah, that's what I want. Okay, cool. So here's what we got to do. We take your website, we convert it to Russian and Farsi, and nobody will buy from you, but you will get a ton of traffic, you know? And it's like, well, that's not what I want, you know, because it can't connect the engine to, you know, the spark plug. And that's really the key. So 9 times out of 10, when I get somebody who's so hellbent on saying, I just want a better website, I say, I'm not the right person for you, but I have 5 vendors. I will connect you up with 3 of them. You pick and choose who you want. And I let them go down their path because I can't help them.
I have had that conversation so many times. And I think, you know, for somebody like you who understands it's not just about making the sale, it's about helping the business owner accomplish what they really want.
Right.
You know, there's great value in you walking them through all of that so that they say, I see. So I really need to invest time and energy in playing a more sophisticated game here.
Right. Yeah. Because most people have, you know, it's like anything else. They've been taught that, you know, like we go to these conferences and, you know, you meet somebody like a Matt Basic, who's an incredible email marketer. And he talks about, I made $1 million doing email marketing. Well, yes, he has, you know, but that doesn't work for every business because he's able to sell email marketing. And that's what he does. He can use email marketing to sell what he does, you know. If you're in the financial space, in the food service space, if you're in the, you know, B2B space, the audiences are all different. There is no one right answer. It is all custom. And so you're not going to find that magic bullet, that magic pill, that easy button that is just all of a sudden going to bring the cash register to you and just start ringing.
Okay, so speaking about cash register and knowing that you're working on this new project, and I mentioned it earlier, connecting the concept of a CRM and an ATM. Mm-hmm. Can you talk a little bit about what you're focusing on there and what you're hoping to help businesses accomplish by introducing this concept to them?
Yeah, I mean, the main concept is, and this is very prevalent on LinkedIn, and you've seen it, I've seen it, and also there's ads all over the place for it. Most of the people using LinkedIn say, here's the deal. You go online, you have 30,000 connections. You connect up with as many of those 30,000 as you can. You get a bot that automates your messaging for you, and you connect with all 30,000 of them and say, hey, I'd love to have a conversation with you and find out how, you know, I could help you or you can help me or whatever your message is. So basically what you're doing is you're spamming 30,000 people. 3,000 of those people may actually open the message and look at it. 300 of those people might actually say, I'm interested, let's have a convo. 30 people may buy, and probably about 3 people will come in and become repeat customers. But in the process, you've ticked off 29,000 people. And if included in that network of 29,000 is your customers or people that you've worked with in the past or prospects, they're done. You know, you're not going to be able to get them back. So what I tend to do is I tend to use a CRM as a home base. And one of the things that I did when the pandemic hit is I had 6,000 people. I took my LinkedIn, basically all my connections, and pulled them into my CRM. Because the biggest problem with LinkedIn or any online platform, especially social media, you don't own it. And the other day I got blocked from Facebook. You know, all of a sudden I lost my entire audience. I know other companies that have been blocked permanently that have lost their entire businesses.
And you've built a lot of goodwill on Facebook. So that was something that was incredibly valuable to you.
Well, yeah. I mean, yeah. I'm on there every single day marketing, you know, putting up pictures, but I'm not really selling anything on there. Mm-hmm. I'm basically just connecting with friends, but I'm doing a caption contest of the day and a quote, you know, it was a motivational quote that got me busted. And it wasn't anything bad. You know, it just all of a sudden their bots came by and said, hey, this is, you know, against our community standards, even though you read their community standards and exactly what I did is fine. It says right there, this is okay. Yep. You know, so you can't control and there's nobody to talk to. Mm-hmm. So LinkedIn, for example, you know, a lot of people say, I want to buy Sales Navigator. I want to connect with all these people. It's a really bad CRM. It doesn't keep notes. It doesn't do the kind of things that you want to do. So I always suggest, you know, whenever you connect with anybody on LinkedIn, pull it into your CRM. So I took all of my connections. I had 6,000. I went through and said, have I spoken to this person or do they have any value in my business, period, amen, or value in my life for that matter? You know, so anybody who didn't have a direct connection, you know, to me, either I met them in person or, you know, I've worked with them or they could be a referral source or their family that hasn't ticked me off because of whatever, you know, they stayed in the CRM. And when I got done, I narrowed it down to about 1,500 people. Mm-hmm. Then I went in and actually said, okay, out of those 1,500 people, who are the 150 people I want to stay in touch with? And what I did is I starred those people, meaning that I favorited them and said, okay, these are the people I'm going to connect with. So every single day I connect with X amount of people. It's usually about 10. If you did that every single business day of the week, you're going to connect up with 200 people. And so what I was able to do is say, I want to stay in touch with these people. Now you can send them a message, you can send them a direct mail, you can do whatever you want to do. But the key thing is you connect up with those 150. You still, you know, you could still have that periphery of that 1,500 that still see your Facebook and your LinkedIn messages. Maybe they're on your email list or whatever. You know, they're just not the people that you want to spend the most time on because they have the best value or you have value for them. Yep. And so when it's all said and done, what you're doing is you're building a tribe. The same kind of tribe that's used in Dunbar's number in, you know, all kinds of different methodologies that say that this is the comfort zone for a business. And that becomes the cornerstone of actually what you're doing. So the CRM becomes the launching point to the point where your business can grow better if you focus on 150 versus 30,000.
I love that because it's such a manageable number to mm-hmm. wrap your head around, but also to practically build activities around. You know, most people know the Pareto principle, the 80-20 rule.
Right.
I was looking at the Darren Hardy book where he talked about the 90-10 rule, which is mm-hmm. look at 10% of your existing audience or your existing clients and focus on them exclusively because right. they bring the most value. And so you're talking about this, a very similar concept here.
Very similar concept, except, you know, there's the biggest thing about it is you have to be intentional and you also have to understand. And this is why CRM is so important, is because you can actually track, does this person like a connection on LinkedIn? Do they like to talk on Facebook? Do they like email? Do they like text? You know, it could be any of those things. And mm-hmm. the key thing is that you can't just all of a sudden say, okay, I've got my 150, I'm going to mail them something. That doesn't work. You know, you have to meet everybody with a very individualized message and actually have something of value for them. You know, it could be something as simple as a happy birthday. You know, it's real easy to wish 150 people happy birthday every month. But, you know, it could be too. The best way to use that is find a connection for somebody. I'll give you a real life example. This happened the other day. I was in a mastermind meeting with one of my, I not only run masterminds, but I belong to a bunch of them. And I was in a mastermind meeting with a buddy of mine, and he said, hey, you know, this one person, do you know any musicians? And I said, do I know musicians? This person is now working at Great Lakes Naval Base, and she's running the USO up there, and she's looking for musicians to come in and perform for the troops, and she needs bands. And I said, this is easy. So I went on LinkedIn, I connected up the worship leader from my church, or my synagogue, whatever you want to say, you know, it's basically, he's got bands on the side. Mm-hmm. And, you know, and he he ended up, you know, I connected the two of them together. I say, you know, Cheryl, meet Zach. Zach, meet Cheryl. Zach is, you know, a musician. He runs a bunch of bands, and put the two of them together. And Zach knows a lot of other musicians who are dying because of the pandemic. And it's like, you mean you're going to pay me $650 to play a show from 6 to 8 o'clock on a Thursday night? I'm all over it. So it was a way for me to take that $150 and make a really solid, good connection that gave them value. I'm done with that. You know, the biggest thing about the law of reciprocity is somehow, some way, that's going to end up coming back.
So, yeah, the fascinating story, by the way. But what I think I'm missing here, and I think you talked about this earlier, is that you need to have an overarching strategy, know the outcome that you want from all of this. And right. So when you understand, okay, here's what I'm ultimately trying to build. Mm-hmm. Then you can take that 150 people and do whatever makes sense to reach that outcome. And one of them that you just gave an example of here was not a very direct approach to getting them to take action on an offer you have. It was it was a Cialdini concept of reciprocity. I do something and it's going to come back to me from that person or somebody else in the future.
Right. So, yeah, so in my LinkedIn courses, I mean, I teach that all the time. I mean, I teach, you know, I have a 4-week and a 6-week course. And in Chicago, I do live boot camps, and now I'm starting to do more online ones. And in one of the sections, when I talk about, you know, making connections, the biggest thing about it is the best way to get a recommendation from somebody is to give them a recommendation first. And the reason is because if you recommend somebody else, so for example, I go to you, David, and I say, David, would you write me a recommendation? What are you going to say?
Sure. What do you want me to say?
Just say what you want to say and just get it done, yeah, right? So, yeah. You know, you finish up with this, you know, your daughter comes in, you know, next thing you know, you got client calls tomorrow, 2 weeks goes by, and it's like, David, you know, I'd really appreciate it if you can get me that recommendation on LinkedIn. Do you mind? Oh, yeah. I'm sorry, man. It's on my to-do list. Okay. And then, you know, third week, fourth week goes by, and finally I said, David, you know, can you do that recommendation? Yep. And, you know, you say, oh, yeah, I'll get it done. And then you go online and say, you know, Brian's a great guy. You know, interviewed him on my podcast. He knows this stuff. And he's great. Connect with him. Okay. That's cool. All right. I write you a recommendation first. I go, okay, David not only is a consummate host, but the man understands the concept of marketing as good as anybody I know. He has a unique vision for you and your business, and he has a way of propelling your business beyond your wildest dreams. You need to connect up with this man. If I put that recommendation on yours, you're going to look at it and go, whoa, cool. And what's going to happen is, as soon as you put that recommendation on your own profile because you like it or tweak it or whatever you want, comes back and says, hey, you want to return the favor. Well, guess what? We are all competitive. So if I did that for you, you're going to get back and you're going to say, ooh, I need to write a better one for Brian. We all do it. You know, it's like, I'm going to write a better one. I'm going to write it right now because it's, you know, I'm in there. I'm doing the thing. I've already, you know, I've given you the impetus to go into LinkedIn and do it. Yeah. And now you're going to come back and give me a better one. So the law of reciprocity says is do this and about 60% of the people will actually go back and write you one. If they never write you one, you didn't lose anything. You gave somebody a recommendation, right? But if they do write you one, the one that you get is going to be better.
I love that approach. And thank you for reading the recommendation that I wrote for you to post on my LinkedIn so well. It felt like it came out, you know, in such a genuine way.
It did. And the best thing about this, man, is recorded. You can send it to Reb and have it transcribed. You don't even have to type it in.
I appreciate that. So, okay. So you're starting to teach this concept. Is there a system that you are prescribing or outlining to sort of help guide somebody through the overarching approach to this? Is this the next book that we're going to be seeing from you?
Well, okay. So let me go through the rendition of the three books. All right. So number one, it's not about you. It's about Bacon. Bacon said, for all my friends out there who are, you know, anti-meat or vegan or whatever, you know, wherever you're at, it's an acronym. It's not, you know, no meat was harmed except in the making of the book cover, because my buddy decided he would want to make bacon out of real bacon. But what it stands for is Building Authentic Connections Online Networking. It's an acronym. And really what it's about is, why is networking so important? LinkedIn is based on networking. Social media is based on networking. Face-to-face is built on networking. It's how we do relationships. So that's really what it is, relationship marketing in the social media world, why relationships are so important. Second book I produce is called The Bacon System, and that book really outlines kind of the core cornerstones of what we're talking about. Having a killer website, understanding Google Analytics and what it means and how to read it and why it makes sense, and then doing content marketing. And those three things work in concert. The content marketing drives traffic to the website. The website can be measured, measure the effectiveness through analytics, and analytics tracks all the content that you do. So those work as a system. And then the periphery is how you distribute it, which is you put it out on email, social media, ebooks, videos, whatever you want to do. That's the distribution channels of the content. Because you can take content and repurpose it. I could take, you know, one of the concepts I do in my business is we usually start with an ebook. And then we turn an ebook into a series of blogs. Then we turn that series of blogs into an email drip campaign. And then we use social media to promote all of those. And the whole reason we use the email drip campaign is because when somebody's downloaded the ebook, we have a lead capture form in order for them to get it. And now we have somebody who we can actually communicate with. So all of it works as a system. But you have to have the content first, right? And repurpose it in all those ways. Then the last book, Toilet Paper Math, not my last book ever, but the last one I wrote. The simplest explanation of toilet paper math is you walk into a Walgreens or Walmart and you see an entire row of toilet paper. In the old days, we were lucky if we could get a 4-pack, right? Yep. You know, you usually bought one at a time and you threw a bunch of them in your cart. But now you walk in and it says 9 equals 128 and 8 equals 64 and 3 equals 327, mm-hmm. right? It's all this. And you're sitting there looking at it going, how the heck does that add up? You know, it doesn't make any, none of this makes any sense. And the reason it doesn't make any sense is because what they've done is they've taken toilet paper, they've actually shrunk the size. It used to be square, now it's 3.7 inches by 4.1. Put more on a roll, put more rolls in a bag. Tell you you're getting more for your money with numbers on the outside of the package when you're actually paying more for less. But they convince you you're paying, you know, you're getting a better bargain, you know. And so that's what a lot of companies do in the B2B space is they throw money at Google ads. There was one company I work with that was, you know, they came to me and they basically said, you know, hey, we're spending X amount of tens of thousands of dollars a year. What the heck are we getting for this? And that's what most businesses ask themselves when they spend on marketing. It's like, what the heck am I getting for this? I said, I don't know. Let's take a look. So we did. We looked at everything. We looked at all the different things they were paying for and, you know, what was working and what wasn't. They had a 10,000 person email list. Half of the list was current customers. Actually, more than half of the list was dead weight. It was passing up people that never opened up their email. We scrubbed that list down to, you know, went from 10,000 to 5,000, and they actually had better open rates because everybody was paying attention to it. They were paying $5,000 a month in Google ads, and we stopped the Google ads, and they lost no sales. And I said, here's $60,000 you can have back. You know,
we gave some of that to you. So, yeah.
They did, yes. But, you know, the thing is that we figured out what worked and what didn't, and then we said, okay, now based on your audience, let's figure out how to communicate with them and connect with them. And so, you know, that's toilet paper math is really about, you know, debunking and basically deprogramming them to believe that everything that they were getting was working because it wasn't. And so it's really kind of understanding how to systematize your marketing in a way that reaches the widest possible audience with the least amount of effort.
You're totally speaking my language and which you know, and mm-hmm. And there's such logic to it when it's explained, but you know, so many of us as business owners are so focused on the things that we have to focus on in our business to get the door open in the morning, to get the, you know, that we forget about these details. And so the fact that you bring this all to light and then help somebody focus on the things that ultimately matter for where they really care about in their business. Right. That's extraordinarily helpful. So,
well, and the key thing that most businesses run into, and so again, when we're talking about a little bit larger business, you know, they usually hire one of two things. They either hire an in-house person to come in and do their stuff, you know, or they hire a marketing firm to come in and do their stuff. I'm not dissing anybody, but I'm just saying, normally speaking, when I walk into these companies, they've got an IT guy that's turned into their webmaster who says, don't look at my work and don't tell me that it's bad, you know, and they'll do everything they can to defend their turf. In the meantime, they're shooting the company in the foot because they don't know how to write. They don't know how to do email marketing. And they're basically saying, we just need to get more traffic to the website. And that's very common. You know, another thing that I see all the time is, you know, companies walk up to the receptionist and they see her on Facebook and they say, can you tweet? Yeah. Okay. You're a social media person. And, you know, then she goes out there, LOL, WTF, we got the best products ever, you know. And so all of a sudden they shoot themselves in the foot. Or they hire a marketing agency and the agency says, yes, we can get you all kinds of business. We're very successful in this. And then they have a stable of people. They have a SEO guy. So what do? They sell SEO. They have a ads guy. They sell ads, you know. Yeah. They've got to pay these people. So they've, you know, it's like inventory to them. They've got to,
they prioritize what they happen to specialize in. Often it's not necessarily the right fit for what the client needs.
Spot on. Right.
Yeah. Wow. So there's a ton of info here. People are going to be wanting to know more from you, particularly about all of your books, which I love. Mm-hmm. And there's far too many places to send them to get all these things. But conveniently, you've actually consolidated all of that in one place, right?
It's super easy. You go to linktr.ee/bacon guy. Linktree/bacon guy.
And so that's going to be a this like a shortener page or something.
It gives you everything. It gives you my Facebook, my LinkedIn, my podcast, my books, everything you could possibly want.
And by the way, we should tell people that you are back on Facebook, right?
Yes, I am back. Okay. Yeah, it was only 3 days.
Well, Brian Vasilico, I'm so, so happy that we had a chance to connect here for this podcast. You're always a fountain of wisdom and knowledge, and there's always something new I learn from you every time we get together. So I greatly appreciate you making time for this.
David, it was my pleasure, man. Thanks for having me on. I appreciate it.
Folks, you've been listening to More Perfect Marketing. We've been chatting with Brian Vasilico today, and I hope that you'll go and check out his myriad of different sites and books and things, and you can find that at Linktree. That's linktr.ee/bacon guy. And I look forward to having you back for another episode soon. Take care.
You have been listening to More Perfect Marketing. For a collection of 26 smart marketing cheat sheets to help you master your marketing, please visit getdavidsgift.com. That's getdavidsgift.com. Once again, thanks for listening to More Perfect Marketing.